Hi, and welcome to the Strad podcast. I'm Davina Shum, I'm a cellist and I'm the online editor at the Strad. If you've read our February 2024 issue, you would have read our feature on the long-lost work by Isai, his Poème Concertante. Violinist Philippe Graffin has recorded the work that has been undiscovered for more than a century. He joins me in this episode to speak about uncovering Isai's lost works, the history and inspiration of the piece, plus how he hopes to cement these lost works as staples of violin repertoire in the future. Philippe, welcome to the Strad podcast.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Nice to have you here. So we're going to be talking a little bit about Isai and your journey in finding his lost pieces for violin. Anyone who's read the Strad February 2024 issue will have seen the feature about you finding Isai's Poème Concertante. Tell me a little bit about your journey in finding these lost pieces. Is it something that you actively set out to do? Why is it that you've, you know, kind of gone down this route of looking for these pieces?
Well, I've been looking for pieces in general. Like I found many years ago now the Samuel Coleridge Taylor Concerto, which I recorded and performed. And I found some other pieces by Isai, like his transcription of the first ballade by Chopin that was in the Library of Congress in Washington, a manuscript that was very difficult to read, actually, but a very interesting transcription. I thought that there was more to Isai that we should know, that we know, actually. So the seventh sonata, I didn't find the score as such. I was presented a sketch in which I discovered that in that sketch, a sketchbook, and there was a first draft of the sonata, and that was not noticed, really, as such. So those three movements made a sonata, and it was almost finished, but not quite. So I volunteered to play it and to finish it and so forth. But I think that sonata was very interesting because it was written at the same time as the other sonatas, and it's very beautiful, really. So I still don't understand why he didn't eventually use it or publish it separately or something like that. Of course, it makes sense, six Bach sonatas, six sonata by Isai, it makes sense, of course. And for this new piece, I mean, it's more than 100 years old, but this new discovered concerto, it's a friend of mine called Xavier Falk, who is a musicologist specialized in Isai, that has been working on it for quite many years. And so when we met over lunch one day, he told me, well, I'm working on this piece. I had never heard of this. I volunteered to look at the score and to try to read it, see how it was. And I was astonished at the beauty of it and how important this piece was and the atmosphere behind it. And so then I wanted to know more. And then little by little, we met with another musicologist, Marie Cornaz, who published a book on Isai, and she's the head of the music department at the Royal Library in Brussels. And she told me she had many letters from Isai, and one of them could pertain to this concerto, which was the case. So then it was amazing to discover the inspiration behind this piece, you know, and that this is a beautiful love letter that he wrote and explains what the themes are about. I think, basically, with Isai, we mostly know the six solo sonatas, and that is really due to the effort of the Queen Elizabeth competition over the century that has asked violinists to learn some of those pieces. Each competition, there was an Isai sonata to learn. And so all the violinists that participated in that competition had to know about this music somehow, you know. And so that's why we know somehow a little bit about Isai. I think we know much less the poems for violin and orchestra, violin and piano, but he wrote seven of them, which are really, really extraordinary. We know that he tried to write some violin concertos in his youth. They are a little bit like Vieuxtemps or Wieniawski. So Xavier told me also that there was a second movement of one of the concertos, that first movement had been played, the E minor, and he said there's a first draft of last movement in the Juilliard School library. Mm-hmm. And so I said, well, you should orchestrate that, and he did. So in this recording we have a finally complete concerto of Isai from his youth, E minor, which is, I think, a very interesting piece, even though for those that only know the sonatas or the poems, it'll be very surprising because it's very romantic in some ways, you know. And but it's part of the tradition of the virtuoso concertos, a little bit inspired by Mendelssohn and Wagner. So it's a beautiful piece, really. To come back to the poem, I was astonished of how long he actually worked on it. There were so many different stages and manuscripts. The piece kept on being worked on and developed from a 13-minute piece to a 25-minute piece over a period of like 18 years or something. So it's really something that meant a lot to him. And probably all those close to him knew about this piece. He probably played some of those themes and used some of those themes in other pieces and stuff. So it's a kind of a matrix of other pieces in a sense. And what I think is that it will be part of the repertoire pretty soon. That's mm-hmm. that's what my hope is. It's another extended, it's a missing link, you know, to the violin concertos. Something between Chausson and Debussy, let's say.
Yeah. That's really interesting what you said earlier about how the Zeiss solo sonatas are compulsory a repertoire for the Queen Elizabeth competition. And actually, I think I mentioned to you the other day, I saw your name on the jury for the selection of the violin competition for this year. Very exciting. Do you see these sort of newly discovered pieces being featured in competitions such as the Queen Elizabeth competition? I mean, you mentioned hopefully they'll be in a staple repertoire in the future. You've performed the poem concertant. You know, what's the general reception of these pieces?
Well, everybody is touched by the beauty of the piece, of course. It's very important work. It was not orchestrated, so I had to find an orchestration. I mean, there was only a few pages of orchestration. And but, you know, it takes a while for people to know, for the audience to know the piece, for the violinists to know it, the musicians to actually take notice. I'm surprised, for example, how many people don't understand that the seventh solo sonata is, they think it's a succession of different sketches put together like a patchwork. It's not. It's really 98% completely finished by Isai. It's really an important work, completely Isai. And it's the same with the poem concertant. It's a real concerto. And all the score is by him. He worked very painstakingly over many years with many details, and it will take a while to sink in and to be put into the repertoire. It's not going to be immediate.
One thing that I found quite interesting in the article is there's a very short mention that Isai is essentially your musical grandfather because he taught your teacher. So it's a little bit like you're finding these pieces, it's a letter from a long lost relative, you know. I mean, tell me a little bit about if you feel any sort of sentimentality to finding these pieces, this connection to Isai at all.
You know, over the years I realized how much I liked this composer and this figure, let's say. And I have, through Mr. Gingold, I mean, when it's really much too simplified to say I feel like grandfather. Of course, that would be very pretentious. I don't believe that really. But in a sense, when I was in the room with Mr. Gingold, he gave you an idea of what his personality was about, what his style and how he thought of the violin. And so that was extremely impressive, very real. And somehow it stayed in my mind about a different role of the violin, not as a virtuoso, heroic instrument, but a very nostalgic, tender, intimate role that the poetic role that the instrument and the sound could have, basically. That really stayed with me, and somehow I look at the French repertoire that was written, especially the one written for Isai, through this prism, actually.
It's very personal, isn't it? And one thing that we haven't spoken about yet is the inspiration behind the piece. And, you know, it's considered forbidden, as mentioned in the articles. Yeah. You know, tell us a little bit about the relationship that inspired the work? Yeah.
Well, it's with dedicated, the piece at first is dedicated to a violin school, Irma Seth. I can tell you that my understanding is she was an extremely talented and wonderful violinist. She had a big career. She played many times with the Berlin Philharmonic. She played many times in London. She was a child prodigy. There is a little statue of her playing in the Conservatoire in Brussels, where I teach. So I was passing by without knowing who that was. But that was when she was a child prodigy and when she was studying with Desai. Then afterwards, she grew up, and she was a very young woman, but her father died, and she was welcome into Desai's home at that moment. And basically, little by little, I think Desai fell in love with her. And that was a sort of a very difficult situation for him and his her, of course, and his wife. But that piece was written at the beginning of this passion. And of course, then she went away and she married and made a life in Germany. What is interesting is that the theme of the piece are from the origin of this forbidden love, in a sense. And it's very, very rare to have a glimpse of the inspiration behind phrases, behind themes, behind an atmosphere of a piece. And I'm not judging the story. I mean, nowadays we can look upon that. He was not that old. We always think about Desai as an old man, but he was a young man at the time. I mean, that happens in life. He could have changed his life and decided to marry her or something, but just because it didn't turn out like that, the origin of the piece is actually pure. I mean, it's very sincere, and the love letter is extremely touching and beautiful. And so what I'm interested about is the peace, really, that we have left from this experience, let's say. Yeah,
again, it's like a letter from a long-lost relative or an acquaintance. So that's really, really interesting. For the poem Constantin, have you got any future performances of it scheduled?
There is a version for violin and piano, which is basically how the score is set. But we just made the recording with the orchestra, and now I need to convince the other orchestra to schedule it for a while. And it's going to take a little bit to set up, but I'm looking forward to sharing it on stage, in fact. It's true.
Fabulous. Well, as you mentioned before, it takes a little while for these things to really take their place in staple violin repertoire, but you're making the steps. So.
Yeah. I wanted to say that I made a little film about this piece. It's called Desai's Secret Concerto. I made a film about the Secret Sonata. It's called Desai's Secret Sonata, but this one is called Desai's Secret Concerto. I made it with some friends, and we tried to convey the atmosphere of the time, to adjust the letter with the piece and the inspiration.
Thank you, Philippe. Thanks for sharing your thoughts. And we'll make sure to point our listeners in the direction of that article so they can find out more about the piece.
That'd be great. Thank you very much for doing that.
That was Philippe Graffan. Do check out our feature in the February issue and head to our website, where you'll find both documentaries Philippe mentioned, Desai's Secret Sonata, about uncovering the seventh solo violin sonata, plus Desai's Secret Concerto, which is all about finding the poem Concertant. And don't forget to check out thestrad.com, where you'll find the latest news, articles and reviews on all things to do with string playing. If you like what you see and hear, register and subscribe to access exclusive archival content from 2010 onward. We've got 50% off an online subscription for students. If you're not sure you're ready to subscribe, take out a free trial for 7 days, start reading right away with no strings attached. And if you happen to be on Apple Podcasts right now, give us a little review or a rating. It will help people discover this podcast. Thanks for listening, and tune in again soon for another episode. Take good care. Bye.